Let's open with hymn number 18. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserved Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. He delivereth them out of their troubles. He is their God forever and ever. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, who by thy Son, Jesus Christ, didst mercifully help the palsied man both in body and soul, we beseech thee for the sake of thy great mercy, be gracious unto us also. Forgive us all our sins, and so govern us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not ourselves be the cause of sickness and other afflictions. Keep us in thy fear, and strengthen us by thy grace, that we may escape temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. Through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
The Holy Gospel for this 19th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 28th chapter of Genesis, the 10th through the 17th verse. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson is found in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, the 22nd through the 28th verse. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Here ends the epistle lesson. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 8th verse. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He turned to the paralytic. He said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 526. Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the 5th chapter of James, the 13th through the 20th verse. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, our Savior, when Jesus healed the sick, he did not promise that they would never get sick again. When he restored the dead to life, he did not promise that they would never die again. And when he urged us to pray, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you," he did not promise that we would never know the weakness of our flesh. Not even Jesus was immune to the weakness of the flesh, for he also suffered in his body, knowing hunger and thirst, sorrow and distress of every kind, so that in every trouble which we endure, he also endured it, except that he always did so without bitterness or complaint, and he bore all of this for us without sin. But we are not Jesus. We do not bear trouble so well. We complain, and sometimes we grow bitter at the weakness of our bodies. Sometimes we feel lost and alone, as if God has abandoned us to disease and death. And we doubt his promises in Christ. Sometimes we get angry, and we strike out at those who love us, even though they are not to blame for our condition. If we were like Jesus, we would always bear every trouble without sin or doubt. But we are not like Jesus. And because of that, we know that we deserve nothing but trouble, sickness, poverty, and tribulations of every kind, because we are full of sin. And so, our misery feeds itself. We know we deserve nothing else, and that makes us more miserable, and perhaps even angry, which only proves the point, how much we deserve what we get. And so we see that we are always of a mind to think that every trouble that we experience surely must be a direct result of some evil deed or thought of ours. And this is so even though our Lord Jesus calls out to us to be of good cheer, because all of our sins are forgiven by his blood. Paul declares there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we soon forget this promise and his grace, and we doubt his word. And therefore, the cure of our sickness is not just to heal our flesh, but to bring our spirits to peace once more and learn again of the mercy of God, who looks upon us in our distress and has compassion. Jesus has equipped his church for just such people as need his assistance. He did not leave us here powerless and unable to help our brothers and sisters in their weakness, their sickness, and their distress. He gave us powerful medicine to soothe and comfort the troubled heart. He gave us prayer and the means of grace and fellowship with one another and with God. Therefore, James urges the sick person, first of all, to pray. Prayer is not some magic formula, as if you only say the right words in the right way, with enough faith, you will get the desired effect. Because that would not be prayer. That would be witchcraft. No, rather, prayer is a form of communion with God, where we speak personally to our personal and very real God and ask for His help. Prayer is a much greater action than people make it. Too often we only think of prayer as what we do when we bow our heads and close our eyes. And yet, whenever we worship God, we are praying. Whenever we hear His word and respond with a song or a hymn, or with a psalm from the scriptures, or the words of the liturgy, that is prayer. When James bids the sick person to pray, he means also to worship and to be grateful to God for His blessings. Prayer is not just for the sick, of course, but also for the cheerful. Let him sing psalms, James says. Let him sing and play music unto the Lord. For just as a song delights our own hearts, so our Lord is delighted to hear us sing His wonderful works. A sick person, though, does not often have the motivation or the energy to sing such songs. But the Christian church is very equipped to help the sick and the sorrowing and to bring them back to that joy, that they may join the assembly of the saints and praise the God who has not only granted them health and life, but has forgiven their sins and given them eternal life in His Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, let the sick call for the elders of the church. The elders, as in all the New Testament, are the pastors of the various congregations. These words were written by James to the Jewish Christians who had scattered from Jerusalem and spread throughout the world. They left during the persecution of Herod Agrippa, and they settled everywhere, preaching the gospel and founding churches wherever they went. The apostles remained in Jerusalem, but every congregation had their elders, their pastors, just as we do today. And God called these ministers to go to the sorrowing, the sick and the weak and the frail, and to comfort them with the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. And even as they're sent by God for this work, God urges you to ask for their help, to call for them. Call them to your side when you are in trouble, because that is what they're there for, so that they may pray for you, and so that you may confess your sins, receive absolution, and hear the promises of God in Christ applied directly to you at that time in your weakness when you need to hear it the most. And at the same time, God does not ask you to abandon your earthly medicine, as the faith healers try to teach. He does not even promise that you will get better if only you have a strong enough faith. James here even declares that the elders should come and apply oil to the body, calling upon the name of the Lord. And this passage has often been misunderstood. The idea seems to be that as the oil is applied, they would pray for its success. The oil here is olive oil. And it was the common treatment for the sick in those days to rub oil into the skin all over the body. And this was not some spiritual ritual. It had nothing to do with the last rites practiced in the Catholic Church without any command of God. In fact, the word here is not even truly anoint, as the word is used throughout the rest of the scriptures. It simply means to oil up, to apply oil. It means, in this sense, to take your medicine. The use of olive oil, by the way, was not some sort of simple-minded superstition. As in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it had a real medicinal use. It was highly antiseptic when it was used in the unrefined form common in that day, and it killed germs and protected wounds and prevented and healed infection or bed sores, and it also was an excellent carrier for the medicines of the day, the herbs and oils which were applied to heal the body. And so all of this is to say that God bids us to join prayer and His word to our medicine and acknowledge Him as the source of every good, both of soul and body. Thus we are bidden to pray, he says, the prayer of faith. And the Greek says literally, pray the prayer of the faith. Because he is not asking you to come up with some special prayer called the prayer of faith. It is simply the prayers of faithful Christians, praying and asking God for help and healing. It is a prayer of faith because it believes that God will hear and answer. And it believes that He desires our good. Such faithful prayers always include the petition, "Thy will be done," even when we do not say those words. It is not a prayer of the faith to think that we can manipulate God, or to turn His will away, or for to pray in faith is to trust in God, because His word declares that He is gracious, and His will is for our good. The answer from God is described in this way. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And that is a promise, and it is always true. The Lord will always save the sick, and He will always, in every case, raise them up. To save the sick, you see, means more than just to save the body. For it may well be that the manner in which God saves the sick and raises him up is when He calls him forth from the grave on the last day and gives to him eternal life that shall not be taken away. There is no greater medicine that God can give through His servants on earth, whether they are physicians or pastors or our dear Christian friends, than the forgiveness of sins itself, which saves us from eternal death. That is the greatest need that the sick and the dying have. And it is the greatest comfort that they can receive. Look, Jesus knows this well. See how He deals with the sick in the Gospels, as we heard in our lesson today. The first words out of His mouth to a paralyzed man are, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." He knows that when we are sick and dying or weak, it is then that the devil tempts you in your weakness to believe that God no longer loves you, that Jesus is no longer your Savior. It is especially when you are sick that you need the comfort of the forgiveness of sins. And thanks be to God, it is just at such a time when you are desperate to hear it that our gracious Lord has often brought the sinner to the knowledge of his sin on the sickbed. When he is facing the weakness of his flesh, he feels his own mortality. And the Lord causes him then, when perhaps at other times he would not, He causes him then to hear His word and to cry out for grace. At other times he might have brushed the thought aside, but now his guilty conscience and the knowledge of his sins and the fear of death overwhelms him. It's especially then that God works His wonder. He brings the sinner to repentance. In such a way, our sickness often becomes a blessing, for by it our Father keeps us humble, lest we become proud and arrogant in our own apparent strength and forget the Lord our God. So we see how fitting it is to bring repentance and forgiveness and prayer together. But it is especially so when we think of how it is when we are sick and when our sins oppress us. For when you have committed some sin and will not repent of it, it stands between you and your Father in heaven. It hinders your prayers. You find no rest because you know that you cannot come to God in confidence when you have a guilty conscience. But when you confess your sins to one another and forgive one another, you have the assurance that your Father in heaven will hear your prayer, and He forgives your sins through His Son, and He grants you help in your need. That's why our lesson declares that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Because it is only by the forgiveness of sins that you are made righteous in God's sight. And therefore, by confessing your sins to one another, you lay hold on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. By His blood, you are now a righteous man who can stand before your Father in heaven, pure and undefiled, and you can ask boldly and confidently, even in your weakness, for His help, and know that He will hear. God loves such prayers. He even loves such prayers which strain for His attention and answer. For He loves it when His children exercise such faith as to firmly believe that He must answer because that's what He's promised to do, even when He doesn't seem to be listening. Consider this woman of Canaan whom Jesus, in her petition, called a little dog, and yet she persisted And finally, he praised her for her faith and granted her request. Think of the parable that Jesus speaks of the unjust judge who answers a widow just because he wants to finally shut her up. And how much more God, who wants to answer our prayers, will give us every good thing for which we ask. Consider the example here given by James, Elijah, who, as he says, was a man, a natural man, just like any of us, meaning he was a sinner. He was not, as the Jews tended to idolize him, some particularly holy man. No, he asked in the same confident way that any of us ask when we pray to our Lord. And Elijah prayed for the rain to stop and then later for it to come again. And God heard his prayer, not because he was more holy. No, but because he was confident in his prayer and he asked in faith. No, consider it as... And so this example of Elijah is given to us by James so that we would consider it, because if God would hear a prayer such as Elijah's, which answered the need for judgment upon the house of Israel and Ahab, will he not much more hear your prayer when you ask for his mercy for your needs, just in your own life? For your Lord loves to grant mercy more than judgment. He is not an unjust judge who only answers because he grows tired of hearing us. He loves to give you good things. He gives you good things even when you do not seek them from him. Even if, God forbid, you err from the truth and fall away into sin and unbelief. He sometimes brings trouble to your door so that your heart will be softened to hear his voice once more. And he sends you Christian friends and pastors to speak God's word, and to rescue your soul from death and to cover your many sins. Yes, even if your body is completely healthy and your sickness is entirely spiritual and you have utterly forgotten your God, he still calls out to you and bids you to receive from his hand freely the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. If God thus never abandons you or forsakes you, even in the extremes of unbelief, how much more will he be with you now when you desire his help and cry out to him for comfort? He hears you and he will answer you, for he has already borne the deepest grief and carried the greatest sorrow for you when he offered his life upon the cross. He has met your greatest need, and therefore trust that he will continue to do so in the lighter burdens of life which are yours to bear. God grant it unto you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who art ever in our midst, and who dost never leave or forsake us, we praise and glorify thee for the infinite mercy which thou didst manifest in the unsurpassed gift to us sinners of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself upon the cross. We thank thee, O Father, for thus commending thy love to us, delivering us from the power of sin and death, and opening to us the gate of heaven. We confess that we are most unworthy sinners, that we have transgressed thy will more than we can know. We repent of our evil and pray that thou wilt give us such faith that we may trust firmly in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness. Grant that by thy truth our minds may be renewed in righteousness and true holiness, that every word, thought, and deed may be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Endow us with grace so that we may walk according to thy word, be constant in faith, patient in tribulation, and instant in prayer. Fill thy church with thy Spirit, that she may flourish in every useful spiritual gift. Give her the courage to defend goodness and truth, and grant unto her pastors the faithfulness and zeal of true prophets, that thy people may be built up in faith and works. Rejoice in thy love, endure in patience every trial, and finally enter thy kingdom by way of him who is the heavenly ladder, even Jesus Christ. Let the knowledge of thy truth and love stream forth upon the nations, and let them receive thy revelation in patience and repentance and faith, so that they may be delivered from all their error and godlessness and enter into the house of God in worship and praise. We pray for our own beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the only standard of right is not personal advancement, public opinion, or party platform, but thy holy will. Give us honorable civil servants, unselfish businessmen, and industrious laborers, that righteousness and peace may be advanced, and greed and avarice may be suppressed. Lavish thy grace upon our families, that each home may, by the Christian love and character of their parents, be for the children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of their heavenly home. We pray for all who are in sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering. Teach them to wait upon thee for thy mercy. Grant unto them hope and a joyous deliverance out of all their trials, and let them walk in the light of thy truth all their days. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our refuge and hope. Amen. We sing hymn 402.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 51.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Good morning.